Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angel, oh, met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow my knees and cry, I know, I cried, holy, I clap my hands and say, glory, glory to the Son. And as I entered the gates of that city, I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
I glory to God indeed. You're listening to the Sound Doctrine broadcast coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California with Dr. Ventura. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight and hope that you had a wonderful week. And we're going to get into some study tonight. I want to thank all the listeners around the world that have sent in emails and phone calls. And we thank you for your prayers. We really appreciate it. They do help. They do help. I was just on the road and traveled. I left Monday night and traveled to Great Plains, Texas. It was 111 degrees out that way. And then I drove straight back, got back here this morning, a little sleep, so I could meet you all on the Block Talk radio programs, Sound Doctrine. And I hope that you're ready to do a little studying tonight. I'm pleased to say how wonderful it is just to come to the presence of God. I dealt with traffic and cars and gas stations. And, you know, it's a funny thing. Out here in California, we pay about $2.79 a gallon. And once you get out of state here, the gas, I saw it at $1.99. Just amazing. We're just taxed to death out here. But they call it a sunshine tax. You want to live and enjoy the sun in 72-degree weather all year round down in San Diego, Imperial Beach, most southwest city. But I want to thank you for tuning in, the listeners. And tonight, I want to talk to you. We've done some rightly dividing, and we talked about generations and ages and, you know, degeneration and regeneration. But tonight I want to do a little study on the times and the seasons, the times and the seasons. And we'll talk about that a little bit. And so when you're reading in the Bible about the times and the seasons, and we're going to get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for a minute. We'll start there. I have a few verses and some other verses. We'll travel around the Bible a little bit, and we'll get a little study. And, you know, it's funny. If you can't rightly divide the Bible, you just accept anything. And that's what's going on in the churches around the country. And all over the world. I mean, Christianity is in a state of chaos and disorder right now. There's so much stuff being taught that, you know, is positive thinking and worldly. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to get that sound doctrine. So I'm glad you tuned in. Let's have a prayer and lift the Lord up. Amen. Glory. Glory. Isn't an open song beautiful? Holy Father, we bow down before you, the listening audience and myself. We are separated only by distance, but not through the Holy Spirit. I ask you, God, that you pour your Spirit upon me and upon the listeners, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, with the eyes of our understanding being opened, Lord, that we could understand the gospel message tonight, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we get to verse 1. And Paul is talking, and Paul says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman, as a travail upon a woman." Now, travail is, you know, when a woman gives birth, it's a very painful thing, but that's how it's going to come. But remember, travail means to, it's not a full-out pain. When a woman gives birth, she gives birth and she has contractions, and it's a process, and they start out slow and they're far apart, but then they get faster and faster and faster. And that's really what the word travail means. And so the Lord is saying, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman." Amen. With child, "and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." And so Paul starts out telling them, but of the times and seasons. Well, really, in chapter 4, when you look back, you know, a text without a context is a pretext, and we don't want to submit a pretext for study. But Paul was talking about the rapture. And if you look in chapter 4, I'll set the foundation for chapter 5, 1. Paul says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, we don't believe in soul sleep. We don't believe the soul goes in the ground and stays there. We believe absent from the body is present with the Lord. We saw that with in the Old Testament when Jacob's wife was dying and Rachel, and the Bible says that her soul was in departing. Her soul was leaving. Her body was still there. But Paul says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, the word prevent means to go before, prevail, or it's preveni in the Greek, and it means to go before. And so Paul says, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. They're going to go. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We'll see that. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Paul's giving them that, telling them, listen, don't lose hope. There's going to be a rapture. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive, we're going to get caught up. It's going to be quick. The word rapture means to really rip you out of the frame, just to it's a violent taking. It's quick. It's fast. Boom. In the twinkling of an eye. Amen. And so that's where we're at. And so that's what we're looking at here. So the times and the seasons. And so Paul's telling the people, he's telling them that, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now there's a difference between a thief and a robber. A robber will take whatever he can get. But a thief is after a specific item, like an art thief would be in your house looking for art. He's not really looking for anything. He has to come for what he knows what he wants. And so it's a specific thing. It's not a robber. He's just going to come in and take whatever he can get. So for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When the Lord comes to take us, it's going to be so fast. People, it's like we were just stolen. You know, people steal things, usually don't take their time. You know, a thief comes in your house, he wants to get in and out. Well, the Lord says he's going to come like a thief. Bam, you're gone. We're out of there. And so that's the context, is the rapture. And they were wondering. Some of these people were concerned that the resurrection had passed them by, the rapture, that the first part of the resurrection of life had gone by them, and they were wondering. And so Paul wrote to clarify, and say, hey, relax, he's telling them. You know, don't be upset. But I don't know when the Lord's coming. I'm not a date setter. Dr. Ventura does not set dates. I just know the times and the seasons. And so if you understand the times and the seasons, then you'll know exactly about when the Lord should come. Now, we know that the Lord is coming. We just don't know when. But he tells us about the times and seasons. And so there are times and seasons. And times and seasons, I want to look at a few verses with you. Times and seasons. Well, what does this mean? Well, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write out to you. Well, we're supposed to know this. Why? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief. Hey, nobody knows when a thief is coming. He just shows up. Hey, man, we don't know when the Lord's coming. But if you look with me real quick over to Acts, and I don't want to go too fast. I'll slow down. You know, I like to preach and I like to teach, and there's a little bit of material, not a whole lot this evening. But Acts chapter 1, verse 7. For he said unto them, now remember, here's what we're looking at. The Lord is with him. He's about to depart from the Mount of Olives. And he tells them that it is not for you to know, in verse 7, the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. You see, you don't know the exact date. You don't know the exact date. But Paul says we know the times and the seasons. So Jesus is telling them, well they wanted to know. You know, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he told them, listen, it's not for you to know when. You're not going to know the date. I'm not going to tell you the date. You know, the Millerites one time said that Jesus was coming, I think it was 1914, and they were all up on the roof dressed in white, and they sold all their property and everything they had because somebody set a date. And this is the Lord's timing, not our timing. And if you look with me in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts 17:26. And Acts 17:26 says, talking about the Lord, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointing and the bounds of their habitation. So there is a time and there is a season for the rapture, but it hasn't been told to us, okay? But let's talk about some of the times we find in the Bible, because I'm not here to set a date. I could just tell you this, that the signs in Matthew chapter 24, those are the signs of the second coming of Christ, not the rapture, but the second coming. You see, there are those in the world who are teaching that everything's going to get better and better and better. We're going to set up the kingdom here. And that's not true. It's devolution. We're going down. We're not going up. Amen? So here's what we have, times and seasons. One of the times we find in the Bible is called ignorance. Ignorance. And let's look at that. And so if you're keeping notes, put times and seasons, 1 Thessalonians 5:1, Acts 1:7. And 17:26. Now, dealing with, we're going to cover the times of ignorance. We're going to talk about the time of the Gentiles. We'll talk about the refreshing, the restitution, the time past, and the last days. Those are all times and seasons. And so we're to know those things, because if we don't know those things, what will happen is we won't even realize where we are biblically in history. And truly, the Bible is a history book. The human history is written from the end, from the beginning to the end, and from the end to the beginning. I mean, God already knows what human history is, and so it's on his timing. But there is a time called ignorance, And if you look with me to Acts chapter 17, verse number 30. Verse 30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." So what had happened was Paul was talking about these people who were worshiping idols and things. And so we go back with me, back up just a little bit here, and look at verse 27 or 26. "And has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." You see, it's predetermined. Now, we're not talking about predestination, you know, in salvation, you know, I don't believe God predestinated any single person, but he predestinated Israel, he predestinated the church, and he predestinated Jesus Christ. And so when do I get predestinated? When I receive Christ. What am I predestinated? To heaven. If I don't receive Christ, I'm predestined to hell, because that's the way it is. So in 1730, we found that the people were talking with Paul, and Paul said that verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also your own poets have said." Remember, he's writing to pagans. "For we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead." Praise Jesus. So we have a time of ignorance, If you'll look with me in Romans 2:12, we'll try and clarify that a little more for you. You see, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." So as many as sinned without the law, that's prior to the law of Moses, they were in ignorance. So that would be from the time of the Garden of Eden until the law of Moses. They were in ignorance, you see. And so people are in ignorance today because they refuse to receive Jesus Christ, or they are worshiping idols that are not gods. And Jesus said the time for that ignorance, Paul said the time for that ignorance is over. So there's a time of ignorance. We're talking about times and seasons. And then there's also a thing in the Bible, number two. So you'll find now, remember, from the Garden of Eden all the way to the law, that's the time of ignorance that they're talking about here in Acts 17:30 and Romans 2:12. Because once Jesus Christ came on the scene, there's no reason to be ignorant. There's no reason to be worshiping idols and stones and Judean faith, you know, there's no reason to go back under the law. Not everybody was under the law. Not everybody became a Jew. Not everybody was circumcised. Not everybody was converted, just like today. And so we have the times of ignorance. And then also we have number two, the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. Now listen, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's all to it. There's only Jews and Gentiles. Okay, but if you're saved in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, you see, because we become Christian. We get a new name, and we get a new walk. Our walk's in Christ. But if you look with me over into Luke chapter 21, verse 24, we're talking about the times of the Gentiles. Well, what does that mean? Well, you need to know about the times of the Gentiles, because if you don't understand the times of the Gentiles, you won't understand the fullness of the Gentiles. Uh-huh. Threw a wrench in there, didn't I? All right, look at Luke with me. Luke chapter 21, 24. Luke 21, 24. And I hope you're there. Luke 21, 24 says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And so here's Jesus. He's talking about the second advent. He's talking about what's going to happen in the end time. And he talks about in verse 20, "When you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." And he tells them all these things. And he says, "But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people." Okay, and he tells them, "They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles before." Excuse me. Now, the times of the Gentiles, it began in 606 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar made his first deportation of the Jews out of Jerusalem. And since then, Jerusalem has been under the Gentile domination. And it goes all the way to the second coming of Christ. Those are the times of the Gentiles. So the times of the Gentiles begins when comes down from Babylon and he takes the Jews and he removes them in the first diaspora. It begins in 606 B.C. and he takes them out of Jerusalem. Okay? And it goes all the way until the second advent. Because really, when you look in the book of Revelations, you find that there is a time when Jerusalem will be trotted down. If you look with me, go to Revelation chapter 11. And I hear people talking all the time, "Oh, you got to understand Revelation." Listen, you can't understand Matthew until you understand Revelation. And you're certainly not going to understand Revelation and Matthew if you don't understand Daniel. And so in Hebrews, somebody's going to get screwed up. They're going to get screwed up in those places. Amen? But looking over here at chapter 11 of Revelations, he's speaking of the end time. "And there was given me a reed," verse 1, "like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread down, shall they tread upon underfoot, 42 months, that's 3.5 years, And I will give power unto my two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." Okay, so there it is. And you have Jerusalem. And what's happening is Jerusalem is being surrounded. And that's the times of the Gentile gets fulfilled when Jerusalem gets surrounded again. But the fullness of the Gentiles is a much different thing. You see, the fullness of the Gentiles is when the last Gentile gets saved. Then there's the rapture. You see, so the fullness of the Gentiles will certainly come first before the times of the Gentiles. But so now, times and seasons. The Lord says you should know times and seasons. So number one, ignorance, times of ignorance. That's, you know, sin, that's without the law, before the law. They were in ignorance. And then you have the times of the Gentiles, which began in 606 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar comes down from Babylon, goes into Israel, takes the Jews out, the beginning. And remember, you know, the Jews didn't become a nation again until 1948. And the miracle of it is even their language was a dead language, but it was revived. It's the only national language that had been dead and brought to life in the history of the world. Okay, so when you see the times of ignorance, you know, that's idol worshiping before the law. But once the law of Moses came, nobody needed to be in ignorance. And then you have the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles begin in 606 B.C. with Nebuchadnezzar. And it goes all the way up to Revelations until the Gentiles trod underfoot. Revelations 11:2, but the court which thou pretend to leave out, measure not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. Okay? So, amen. You know, 40 and 2 months, 3.5 years. Well, the last half of the tribulation. Tribulation 7 years. First 3.5 years is a time of peace. Antichrist shows up. He's a man of peace. And then he goes into the temple in about the middle of that 3.5 year period, which we know as Daniel's 70th week, is the tribulation. He goes in there and he claims he's God, and he requires the people to bow down before his idol. And so what happens is the Gentiles come into the holy city and they tread it underfoot 40 and 2 months. They throw the Jews out. And so now that's future now. That's future. Then there's a thing called the times of refreshing. The times of refreshing. Well, that sounds good. Did you ever have to spend a hot day outside and you're working or you're just running around and it's just so hot you need a refresher? You know, nice cool glass of pink lemonade or iced tea and cold water. Amen? Well, that's time of refreshing. Something that's refreshing is reinvigorating you. Cooling you. You know, it's kind of when you drink it and you go, ah. Amen. But if you look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19, this is called the times of refreshing. We had a time of ignorance, we saw the times of the Gentiles, and now we're going to look at a time of refreshing. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19. Acts 3:19. You get to Acts 3:19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he says, send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So what the time of refreshing is speaking about the millennium reign. The millennium reign. Okay, and we know the millennium reign happens after the end of the tribulation, after Armageddon, and we're looking at a 1,000-year reign where Jesus Christ comes to reign on the earth. Amen? And then there's also the time of restitution. Here's another one. The time of restitution, and that's found in Acts 3:21. We just read, he shall send Jesus Christ, that's verse 20, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times, got it? Times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So the times of refreshing and the time of restitution. Well, what's going to be restored? Restitution is when you pay restitution, you restore something that was wrongfully taken and sin came into this world, and the millennium reign is going to be a 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ on the earth, and he's going to restore the earth. He's going to regenerate it. Okay, you'll have a new heaven and a new earth. Look with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10. Good to rightly divide your Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10. If you don't divide your Bible properly, you'll end up in a cult or a heresy. And that's not a good thing. But the millennium, you look at chapter 1, verse number 10 of Ephesians. Scripture says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Amen? So from the millennium to the dispensation of the fullness of times, you get a new heaven, you're going to have a new earth. You're going to go into eternity. That's the fullness. That's the end. You see? That's the end. But the times of refreshing is the millennium, the time of restitution when God will run a theocracy on the earth. And my Christian brethren, if you're serving God now and you have rewards coming, the Lord said that we would also be serving in that capacity, either as a king or a priest. That's what Revelation says. He's made us kings and priests. So we're either going to be ruling, or we're going with the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're going to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ in a priestly capacity, if you would, in a ministerial capacity. So it's good to know the times and the seasons, the times and the seasons. You see, there's a time called ignorance in the Bible, and there's a time of the Gentiles. And remember, the times of the Gentiles started back in 606 B.C., and it goes all the way to the tribulation when the Gentiles finally surround Israel, surround Jerusalem, the city. And then, you know, that's where God intervenes. And then you have the refreshing. A refreshing, that's a time and a season. The refreshing is your millennium reign. Now, if you have a pencil, you know, you can draw this thing out. It's very simple. This is not complicated. This is not God. You know, that's the simplicity of salvation. But if you start and you just draw a straight line, say, oh, a good 4 or 5 inches, and then all the way to the left of your paper, you put a little mark. Just put a line there. And that's the beginning, you see. And then you go up, oh, say about 4 inches, maybe 3 inches, depending on your paper, and you put another line there. And right at that line, you make the cross of Jesus Christ. You see? And then right after the cross, you put a little arrow that goes upward. And then you put a little line in between and another arrow right after that that goes upward. And then you look over to the right side where that arrow went up, right? Well, actually, let's do it this way, because I want to simplify. So on your left, you have a little mark where you started. And then you have a cross, a couple inches there. And then you have an arrow that goes up. And then about a quarter of an inch, you put a little dash in the paper right on that line. And then you have an arrow that comes down. Okay? Now watch how this works. Now, if you'll just look over here and you'll put approximately between that first mark where you started to the cross, you can just put law. And I mean, it all wasn't law. Law came in the fifth dispensation. So it's not all law from the beginning to the cross, because you have a time of innocence, a dispensation of innocence, when God dispensed the innocence of Adam and Eve until they sinned and took them out of the garden. And then we began a new dispensation. Every dispensation ends with the judgment of God. So the judgment of the dispensation of innocence was to take them out of the Garden of Eden. And now the judgment and the dispensation that follows begins conscience, where a man lived by his conscience. And you know the end of that dispensation, it ended with the flood. And so dispensation, the Bible has dispensation as well as ages and times. But so right under that mark there before the cross, you can put law just as a generality, so you know that they were under the law. And then you have the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, that next arrow that goes right up alongside the cross, you could put rapture right there, R-A-P-T-U-R-E, and you'll have a rapture, that arrow going up. And then you draw a line under where you wrote rapture, and remember this, that's where the judgment seat of Christ is. That's where Christians will be judged. For in their lives, not for their sin, because they're already forgiven at the cross, but for what they've done with their lives as Christians. Remember the parable? Well, you did good, so I'm going to give you so many cities. Well done. Okay, so now you have the cross, the arrow up that says rapture, and then you have this space between the other arrow that goes up, and that just right in there, trib, T-R-I-B. That's where the tribulation is. You see. Because that other arrow to the right, that arrow is Armageddon, you see? And you may not be getting this, and I understand. I'll try and get it up on the website for you. But better to try and understand it yourself. So the tribulation between the arrow going up and the arrow going down is 7 years. And it's divided by 2 3.5-year periods. And so what happens is, that the man of peace shows up, the Antichrist, as a peaceful man for 3.5 years. But in the last half of the trib, he reveals himself that he is not, and he's the Antichrist. And so for that last 3.5 years of the trip, it's a very terrible time on the earth, very terrible. And thank God we're raptured out. We don't have to witness it or participate and run from it or hide. But it's 3.5 years. And then that's when Jerusalem will get surrounded towards the end there by the Gentiles. And that'll be the filling of the times of the Gentiles, see, which we just read in Revelation 11. And what happens next is Armageddon. And Armageddon is when the Lord and his armies come down and fight those people that have Jerusalem surrounded, you see, and their armies. And it's in the valley of Megiddo. And so we're not going to go too deep into that. That's time for another study, but you should know it does exist. It's spoken of in the Old Testament, spoken of in the New Testament. And so the Battle of Armageddon takes place right when the Lord comes down with his armies. And then right after that, you noticed that you made that line, and I had you draw that line coming down, and I told you Armageddon happens right there. But to the right of that is the millennium reign, and that goes for 1,000 years, you see. And you can put a little line at the end of your line all the way to the right. And so that's 1,000 years, you see. And we know a millennium is 1,000 years. And so this is 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. That's called the times of refreshing, and also known as in the Bibles the times of restitution, when God will restore the earth in the millennium reign. Then we have a new thing here called time past. You should know the times and the seasons. Well, what does the Bible mean when it says time past? Well, go with me to Hebrews, please. These are not complicated truths. It's just a matter of rightly dividing your Bible and understanding it. Otherwise, you'll get into heresy, and that'll get you messed up. Okay. Hebrews 1:1 speaks of God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You see? Time past. And so when he's talking about time past, that means before the cross. Before the cross. See how simple that was? That wasn't hard to understand. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. See? So the division there is when you're reading about time past, well, it's ordinary understanding is prior to Jesus Christ, prior to the cross of the crucifixion. Okay, here's another time in the season for you. The last days. The last days. And that's found in Hebrews 1:2. See, Hebrews 1:1 we found time past. But in Hebrews 1:2, it says that hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed. Now, when you're talking about last days in the Bible, you know, a day in the Bible can be 24 hours, the day of the Lord. It's the return, the rapture, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, the second advent. And so when the Bible's talking about last days, it's talking about the end times. It takes you all the way from the cross all the way to the end of time. Because when you look at that little line you drew, remember I told you on the right to put that little line there that shows the end on the right at the end of the millennium? Well, more things happen right there. You know, fire comes down from heaven. Satan's loose from the pit, and he goes out and he gathers all the world that's against God, and again they surround Jerusalem. And God just sends fire down and just destroys them this time. And the earth. And there's no heaven and there's no earth, and it's judgment time. It's the white throne judgment. And those who went through the tribulation and were faithful, they'll be there. Those who were not faithful, they'll be there. And all the unsaved dead will show up also. So we don't go to the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is for the unsaved. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is different because, listen, your sins are forgiven. God has forgiven you for your sins. And so, well, listen, I can't lose my salvation. It's a gift of God. but I can lose my rewards, the things that I've earned serving God. Why, if I'm a Christian man and I, listen, every man sins, and I get into sin, what'll happen? Well, I'll have to confess it and get right with a true repentant heart, or God will chastise me until I get right. And sometimes God will take an unrepentant Christian right out of the world, because your Christian walk will have no profit to the Lord. So why should he keep you here? You say, that's hard. Well, that's the truth. Amen? That's the truth. In 1 John, I want to show you something here. In 1 John, or 2 John, I'm sorry. In the second epistle of John, 2 John, chapter 1, verse number 8, John warns us. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. Well, when are we going to get our full reward? Well, I'm saved. My name's in the book of life. I can't be blotted out. So don't get that confused with the white throne judgment. If you get that confused with the white throne judgment, you know, you'll be hanging out with the kingdom builders waiting for the end. That's not it. The Lord said this. Now, if you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians, I'll take this right and put it right into context for you. And I'm going to help you with this. When I get done, you're going to understand something about the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, we just read in John, don't lose your reward. You know, people have rewards coming, and then they get into sin, and they do other things, and God's not going to give them those rewards. So what is the judgment seat of Christ? Well, the judgment seat of Christ, it takes place during the tribulation. When we are raptured, we will appear before Jesus Christ. So let's look at that. Scripture says, for other foundation can no man lay. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Well, what's gold, silver, and precious stones represent? Well, gold represents deity. Silver represents, redemption. And precious stones represent souls saved to a Christian. Those stones go in your crown. Amen? If you say, I never read that, well, you're not reading your Bible enough. Now, Paul tells them in verse 12, if any man builds upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, those are things which glorify God, wood, hay, and stubble. Well, wood, hay, and stubble are fleshly works. They're works that don't glorify God. They're things you did for yourself that weren't for God. And when they're tried by fire, they'll burn up. And some people think, well, that's hellfire. No. Let's read on. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be tried. Every man's work shall be manifest. It's going to be made known. For the day shall declare it. What day? Well, we're in the last days, the day of Jesus Christ. Right? What day? Let's see. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, but so as by fire. Now I want you to know something. There's no purgatory. That's something that came out of a Catholicism. And it was used primarily to raise money. You know, they built St. Peter's Basilica by telling people if they drop their coin in Air Melanchthon, you know, drop your coin in this box and your people will be out of purgatory before it hits the bottom. You know, it's just listen, the only book you and I have to tell whether what we're being taught is correct is the Bible. And we don't need anything outside of it. God has given you his complete revelation of his word. Amen. And so anybody who says that they're the vicar of Christ or they're the pope or they're speaking instead for God, you better look out. Okay? But here we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ. He says back in that chain, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now you see that trying means it's just like when you refine gold or silver or precious metal, you heat that thing up, and all the dross, all the bad stuff floats to the top of the pot, and then they skim that off and they throw it away. you see? And so it's tried by fire. And that's what the Lord's talking about here, only the fire that he's going to try it with is the Holy Ghost. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, if there's anybody's stuff is left, which he has built thereon, he'll get a reward. So if you built your life on wood, hay, and stubble, and not on things that are glorifying Jesus Christ and souls, and then you'll lose the rewards if you're back in the sin. But if you get to the cross of Christ, when you get there at the judgment seat of Christ, your works, what you did from the time you were saved until you appear before Jesus Christ, will be tried. Well, why? Because we're going to receive a reward. See, verse 14, if any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. How? Yet so as by fire. Not hell fire. Amen. And so there's many misconceptions being taught out there, just people who just want to take the Bible and isolate a verse, and, you know, purgatory is something that, you know, came out of the book of Maccabees in the Old Testament, and I believe it really has, you know, it really has nothing. The book of Maccabees is not even part of the Old Testament. It's just, it's a historical reading. If you get the 1611 King James in its original condition, you will find the Apocrypha stuck between the Old and the New Testament division. And the reason why they did that, because they didn't want to make it part of the text. They didn't feel it was holy. They didn't feel it was inspired by God as scripture. But it was good for historical reading. Later on, they removed it. And rightfully so. It really shouldn't have stayed in there. It wasn't part of the scriptures. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, John warns us, don't lose that reward. Don't lose that reward. You can lose your rewards. Many things you're doing for God that he wants to bless you with. And then you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and because you become a sinner, you've lost those rewards. John said, look to yourselves, hey, look after yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we work for, but that we receive a full reward. You see, you want to receive a full reward when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. And so we have the times of ignorance, we have the times of the Gentiles, we have a time of refreshing, time of restitution, time passed. Before the law, or before Jesus Christ, excuse me. And then the last days, and knowing what's going to happen in the last days. And so if you really want a better perspective of it, because I have an hour program, and I don't have the time on this program to give you every single detail. I mean, I certainly hope you're studying your Bibles, you read it. How will you have a relationship with Jesus Christ if you don't? But Matthew 24, if you read Matthew 24, it's talking about the second coming. Now, you say, when's that second coming take place? Aha. If you look at the little chart you just made, all the way to the left, you have a start point. You have the cross. Then you have the lateral going up, which is the rapture. Then you have your tribulation period. And then that arrow coming down, Armageddon. Well, that's the second coming they're talking about, you see? Because look at verse 29. Of Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet. So what you have there is the rapture of the Christian happens right after the cross, before the tribulation. And then right down, you have 3.5 years, and 3.5 years, 7 years of tribulation. And right after the tribulation, you have that arrow coming down. That's where the Lord and his armies come down. You can read that in Joel chapter 2, I believe. And his armies come down, and the Battle of Armageddon takes place. And that's what Matthew is telling you of that time there. And so when you read that, you understand that the times and the seasons, because the shadow of things that are happening as described in the book of Matthew, I mean, there's perplexity such as never was before or ever shall be. You see, verse 21 says, for then shall be great tribulation. That's the end of the tribulation, great tribulation. Such see, the first half of the tribulation is a peaceful time. But then you have the times of Jacob's trouble, or the great tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years of the trib. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be horrible. And here's what Jesus said about it. He says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Thank God. God's merciful. Imagine if he didn't shorten the days of the tribulation. Whew. What a terrible time of suffering. It would just be horrible. Well, my brethren, we're almost out of time here. And I hope you got an idea of times we're in. And I hope you got an understanding of these words when you read your Bible. There are times and seasons. You know, there are ages, too. You study the Bible, and it talks about ages. You have eternity past. You know, you have the antediluvian age, which is, you know, before the flood. You have from the flood to the second coming of Christ. And then you have the age of ages in the Bible, which is the millennium, the new heaven and the new earth. So these are things that you need to study. And people say, well, why do we need to know this stuff? Well, number one, it'll build your faith. Number two, you'll be able to answer some gainsayer, because the Bible says, have you always ready an answer? And so that's, you know, important. You don't realize it when you study your Bible, because most people just read through and they're not really understanding their Bible. They're getting a good read through it. And yes, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and the Holy Spirit will teach you things. But, you know, there are generations. And then there's a degeneration. And then there's a regeneration. Amen? You know, going from the beginning of creation, you have a generation you start with. And then to the, you know, the stage where the world is destroyed. And then Genesis 1:3, you have a recreation. And then the generation is going to encompass the original creation, the chaotic stage of the earth, and the recreation. And then you have a degeneration, you know, deals with man from the Garden of Eden straight on down. You know, since the earth has been in man's hands, well, tell me, what have we accomplished? Straight down the tubes. Amen? I mean, we haven't cured sickness. We've cured some sicknesses, but we haven't cured sicknesses. We have not cured diseases. And so, you know, we haven't brought peace. Man's not going to bring peace on earth. All these people talking about peace on earth, peace on earth. Listen, you're not going to see any peace on earth until the millennium reign. That's when you're going to see peace on earth. That Bible's a bloody book. It starts with a murder, and it ends all the way up with the Battle of Armageddon. The Lord says that the blood from that battle will be as high as a horse's bridle. And they'll be burying the dead for years. Imagine that. Well, the love of Christ, listen, that's a just God. He must punish sin. He must judge it. Thank God we can put our sin under the blood of Jesus Christ and be forgiven, or we would receive that judgment. We just serve a mighty God. He's a good God. And I thank God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, today's a good day to know Jesus Christ, because tomorrow's not promised, my friend. You know, I drive across the country. There are some people who don't like my preaching. They say sometimes I'm too hard, or they don't like my background, or they, you know, they think that they've got a monopoly on Christianity, and you know, they don't want you to preach in their church, and they're prejudiced towards you, and not only me but others. But God's got a sense of humor, because when I travel across the country, I have a radio in the car, and it's a Citizens Band radio. And I tell the truckers about Jesus Christ. And I tell them all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast and the East Coast to the West Coast. And I made about 15, now 16 trips across this country. And I preach to them. And every now and then some trucker will pick up his radio and say amen. But I tell them, listen, today's the day of salvation. You don't know what's down the road. 5,000 people a year get blasted off the earth with lightning. They just stepped out of their house and a lightning bolt got them. Tomorrow's not promised. Sinner, if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus Christ, my friend, you're walking on a piece of cloth in your life. You know God has a lot of ways of taking a fellow out of this world, and God will tolerate your sin for a certain time. And if you're listening tonight and you're unsaved, God's speaking to you. And the reason why God wants me to tell you this is because your time is limited as a sinner on this earth. And when you die, you're going straight to hell. And I tell those drivers, you know what, you're driving out there on that road, you don't know what's around the next corner. You have no idea if the bridge is in, the bridge is out. We've seen destruction throughout all this country, carnage on the highways and car accidents and bodies and all the things I've seen in the 15 trips, 16 trips I've made across the country. But I want you to know, it's true. None of us know what tomorrow holds. In fact, we don't know what the next hour holds. There wasn't a person who went into the Twin Towers in New York and thought they weren't going home that day. Not one of them. Thousands died. Are you walking blindly too? What are you trusting in? Aren't you tired of your life, this sinful life? Why don't you turn to Jesus Christ today? If you just turn from your sin and repent and say, God, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for the life I've been leading and I'm repenting. I'm turning from that life and I'm turning to you, Jesus. And I believe that you died on that cross to pay for the price of my sins and that you were buried and that you are resurrected and you are at the right hand of God now. And I ask you, Lord, to be my Savior. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. 203-240-0377. That's my personal number. I'd love to hear from you. Or you can email the radio program, Nathan on the Spot, or send us a letter. We'd appreciate that, too. You could write to P.O. Box 1536. And I'd love to hear from you, Imperial Beach, California. 91933. Listen, God's got a plan for your life. But you're not going to find out what that plan is if you don't come to God. Life is just too quick. Just too fast, my friends. America has become the land of sudden death, and that's what it's known of all around the world. My friend's girlfriend, daughter, rather, was walking in New York City in the Bronx, and a door fell from a 10th-story building under construction and killed that little girl walking on the street. You just don't know today. With terrorism, and I'm not trying to put fear in your heart. I'm telling you, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have peace in your heart, and you'll be able to deal with these things in a different manner. And God will help you. I'm not saying, hey, you won't have any trouble in your life as a Christian. Listen, we all have trouble. We're all going to suffer in life. You either suffer for evil or you suffer for good. And so at least if you suffer for good, hey, man, getting tired of people telling me, well, I can't wait to get to hell and shake my friend's hand. Listen, you're not shaking anybody's hand. You're going to be in there screaming. Go put your hand on the stove and tell me how that feels. When your whole body's in that fire, we'll see whose hand you're shaking there. And I know if you went to the gates of hell right now and looked in and you asked anybody there, did you expect to be here today? Hey, 95% of them would tell you, not really. No, we had plans for the day. Well, you better change your plans and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I hope you'll tune in next week. I'll be ready. We'll get something good for you. I hope this lesson, it was a little deep tonight, but I'm sure that it'll give you a better perspective on your Bible. God bless you. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, please bless this listening audience, wherever they may be. Touch their hearts and comfort them. Lord, I heard a radio program today that I was invited on that was full of insults and disrespect to each other and to Christian women and men. And I ask you, God, to forgive that person. And I ask you, God, to bless those people who were wounded by that name calling and those things. And Lord, lead me away from those people and that kind of program, Lord. We're not interested in name calling and disrespecting each other. We'll thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name for this message. Touch it to our hearts. Amen. I want to thank Nathan, my wife Marilyn, my family, the Bruffs, associate pastor, and ask for some prayer for Sister Joan. She's up and about. I thank you. I asked last week if you would pray for her. She's been up. She's at the church. She's an elderly woman, and she is a pillar in the church. She is on fire. One day I want to get her on the radio. You can enjoy. Just listen to her testimony. But I thank you, listeners. God bless you. And remember, knees on the floor, nose in the Bible, eyes on Jesus. Nathan, please.
Jesus, draw me ever near as I labor through the storm. You have called me to Your love.